Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Internet Marketing brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. Are you concerned you might have been penalised by Google? Well, in today's show, Kelvin Newman and colleague Natalie Wright discuss some of the techniques you might want to think about, all coming up in Internet Marketing.
I'm joined in the studio today by another one of my Site Visibility colleagues, Natalie. Natalie, is it alright to kind of ask you really quick to kind of talk about yourself, your background, what you do for Site Visibility and some of the sort of projects and work that you work on here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with Site Viz on my placement because I'm a student at Brighton University doing digital media development. So I'm in the technical SEO team, which is kind of wallowing around in links at the moment and just kind of sorting out backlink profiles. Other than that, I do a lot of the technical audits here, so kind of make technical recommendations, like all the standard stuff, like technical title tags, H1s, meta descriptions.
So kind of making sure that clients, when they come to start to work with us, that they've got all those main boxes ticked.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like, you know, if you do like external stuff, like if you do link building or outreach to your site, and your site isn't like up to snuff, it's kind of like, you know, building a house on sand.
Yes. So, yeah. You really need to get all those bits right.
I'm trying to build a house. That's the plan.
And I know some of the things that kind of, you know, you alluded to it briefly there, that kind of there's a few projects we've taken on recently and started working on where the link disavow kind of element has been part of it. So to set the scene for people who perhaps might not follow the world of SEO quite as closely as you know, those of us who kind of work for SEO and digital marketing agencies do. About October, just take a step back even further, just over a year ago, Google released the Penguin update, which was kind of intended to, you know, reduce the influence of some manipulative link building practices that Google weren't particularly fond of or keen on. And kind of, I think what was kind of fundamental and sort of sometimes a little bit underappreciated in terms of the Penguin update was that kind of prior to that, the worst case scenario in any link building campaign that was unsuccessful was that it just didn't do anything positive, right? So you could spend a lot of time, you could spend a lot of money, but potentially see no reward from it. However, kind of with Penguin and around that time, whether it's, you know, technically Penguin or not, that kind of shifted, right? So there came a point at which a link could actually harm you. And there was actually a subtle change in Google's webmaster guidelines that was made. That previously it said that, you know, there is nothing that another webmaster can do to harm your website.
Yeah.
To there is almost nothing a webmaster can do to your website. And, you know, part of that kind of, you know, gave rise to a bit of a kind of world of negative SEO and that type of thing. But more realistically, what happened is that potentially links that previously weren't having any impact now might be harming you. And many kind of, you know, webs companies are coming to us and they believe they've got a penalty. First question is, do you think that as many people have penalties as actually think they do?
That's actually a really interesting one because we've had that a lot in the past couple of weeks. I'd say actually more often than not what it is it seems to be like a downwards trend, but but the pattern for traffic is still the same, so it's kind of seasonality. But on a whole, the site is appearing to be less popular, or generally just getting less visitors. But kind of like the ratio and distribution's kind of the same.
And I think, because there is that kind of particular, you know, if it's genuinely a proper penalty, a proper kind of penalisation that's taking place, you tend to find that it has a particular date, and before that date, your traffic is X, and after that, it's significantly less than that, rather than a kind of general downward trend over time. And that, you know, sometimes people kind of go, well, I'm getting less traffic. But if it's a gradual decline, actually, probably what's happened is something you were doing is becoming gradually less effective. Or in many cases, what you're doing in search is you're actually competing against the other websites. And too often people think they've been penalised, when sometimes actually what's happened is someone's just doing a better job,
doing something better
than they were doing before, and you might be doing as good a job as you've always had, but they've suddenly just upped their game a bit as well. There's a particular tool that might be worth people checking out, that if you're concerned that you might have a penalty, or that, you know, websites you're working on might have penalties. It's called the Penguin tool, which kind of draws on the kind of history of search updates that SEO Moz maintained, which is really, really good, and kind of overlays that against your analytics.
I've also that's so you can make it overlay against your analytics if you visit that site. I've also been using a tool called Chartelligence is how you pronounce it. And it's a Chrome extension. I think you can get it for Firefox as well. And so when you're in your analytics account, you can just you'll go over the overview graph, it'll come up with a little icon, you click that, and it actually puts the overlay in your
So I mean, I think that's what it's really about. And the nature of kind of particularly Panda as well as and Penguin as is that they are run, you know, that they have times, and you know, there are people kind of looking at and marking up when these big changes occur, so you can actually, you know, look at that. So that's the first question. And what I'd say is, before you go too crazy and disavowing links and kind of I haven't explained how that came about, but like about October time last year, given this change whereby links could suddenly, you know, do you damage, Google introduced what's called the disavow tool, which I suppose is a little bit of a misnomer. It's not really a tool, is it? It's more like an opportunity to provide a list to Google of links that you don't want them to consider. Is that kind of a fair?
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of as if you're kind of emailing Google, like, hey, here's what we've... here's what we want you to get rid of, and that we've you have to obviously only submit the disavow after you've done every effort to get rid of those links, and I think submitted a reconsideration request before the disavow.
So what that means really in most cases is, you know, a process of going through and looking at the links that are pointed to your website, and deciding which of those you think are helping you, which of those you think probably aren't having any impact, and in terms of the ones we're worried about, those that you think might be damaging you. How does that process kind of typically come together?
Usually the way that I do it is I wander on over to Majestic SEO, I'll go obviously type the site in historic and use the root domain, and I'll download the backlinks from there, but then the question is like, oh, so which ones of these backlinks are not there anymore? So before you download, you just hit remove, delete backlinks. And then what I do is I kind of separate it into, so you get an Excel sheet from that, and I separate it into different Excel sheets of 5,000 URLs maximum, and then I'll throw that file into Screaming Frog. And I'll there's a custom filter. You can set custom filters on Frog, and I kind of do a, you know, does the URL anywhere on the page contain then the URL of the site that you're figuring out, and also it does not contain. So then, as it crawls, as it spiders those links, the list of links that you've put into it, it will go and check the you get all sorts of stuff from Frog, but it will go and check the header response, the server response. So then any ones that are, you know, 301, 404, 500 are no longer there. So then anyway, like at the end of it, I ended up with a list much smaller than the list that you kept from Majestic.
So they're real links then, aren't they? So
they're actually there. That are actually there, that aren't removed. They're the ones that are actually either doing harm or benefiting, you know, your entire kind of campaign.
And immediately that's got to be quite helpful, isn't it? Because it's there is a finite amount of time you've got to go through these. And I think sometimes what you don't want to do is spend all your time looking at your old links and then not building and any new good ones.
And I mean, it's not very useful if you're checking out your links and you know you can write down that you're going to go and contact them, and then you'll contact them and more often than not they reply going, well, actually that's nowhere on my site. So it's just kind of, you know, honing your efforts, focusing your efforts in one place.
And once you've got those real actual live links, how do you go about kind of working out, okay, this is one that's hurting me, this is one that's helping me? Kind of any particular processes or tips or ideas for kind of how you go about doing it?
In terms of tips, I'd say I'd check out the, like, as you go down the list in Excel, I kind of add columns onto the spreadsheet, kind of one that says one that's action. So in there, you know, you say if you're going to keep it, if you're going to remove it, if you're going to, like, contact them to, you know, follow it before you want them to remove it. I also then I have a column of contact, so you put the contact details in, and then any notes, so in that note whether the site was a directory. So then I'd end up with like a row of the URL, I want to remove it, the contact details are this, and notes is a directory, or keep this, it's an article, or you know, that kind of thing. And it's always good to do it in bulk, so when you come across one URL in the Excel sheet, just fill it with a whole column for that URL, and then you'll end up with, you know, more often than not, again, like a load of links, and then, you know, that speeds up the entire process instead of going through them one by one. In terms of figuring out what's a good link and what's a bad link, once I've got kind of, you know, the filtered down list of bad links, actual real links, as you said, there's a tool on Majestic again that's a bulk backlink uploader, I think. So just kind of to double check, you can submit 300 URLs to the bulk uploader, and it will give you back like the citation and trust flow metrics. So that's always good. I mean, I'd say mostly I rely on common sense, but the metrics of source citation and source trust flow, like link trust flow, are really good as well, because do you know what both of those mean?
I think it's probably worth explaining. It's kind of, it's about how likely those websites are to have been linked. It's a little bit confusing, is that, I suppose.
I mean, I'd like to know the exact calculations that go into the figures, so that's why I wouldn't trust on them wholeheartedly at the moment. But the metrics that Majestic have come up with, and citation is, I've got to try and get this right, it's how influential a site might be based on the number of sites that link to it. So that's citation. And then trust flow is a number based on the idea that trustworthy sites link to other trustworthy sites. So I mean, you know, a good looking balance between the two, so every link will get a citation flow and estimated link trust flow. And I'd probably say a link that's got, I mean, either even like 60 and 60, for example, or I mean more trust than citation is usually a good call. But anything below, I mean, I've been looking at anything below 20 and just automatically just pinging in there that I want to remove all of them.
And there's also, I suppose, interestingly, as this has become more and more of a challenge, there's a number of tools out there sort of launching that specialise in this. I know a few friends of mine are kind of working on one called Link Risk.
I signed up for the beta for that. Still haven't got it.
Drop them a line. But no, basically, it's all just about kind of, you know, speeding up this process. And the terrible thing is, in many cases, either new clients or new projects that you've not worked on before, or actually, in many cases, the worst links are the ones that sometimes just occur naturally when you're scraped by terrible websites.
You see all sorts of stuff. I saw some wicked ones today. Just you know, you think the days of Black Hat are over, and then I just went on this one page and it was just spun content, and it was a bit of a poke in the eye.
And I suppose, so you talked then, you kind of go out and reach and contact some of these people. What's the kind of response out there? You know, is it generally very poor? And you know, you talked about, like, you're filing a reconsideration request with Google, that you have to show that you've made the effort to kind of try and approach some of these people. What's the kind of normal response like, or what are some of the questions you've had that, you know, would help people, you know, considering going out and doing this?
I think in terms of kind of the process on a whole, it's really good to obviously kind of have a template for the email. I mean, that's always a good idea, so you can chop and change and give some examples of links on the domain that you want removed. In terms of like the response, actually usually it's pretty good. With with a project before, most of them just said, yeah, cool, we'll remove it. But that was a few months ago now, and what a lot of people are doing is actually charging you to remove those links. So I mean,
it's a bizarre situation, isn't it, where like a lot of cases that these are paid links as well, so someone paid to get the link and they paid to, but then having said that, I suppose the shoe on the other foot, if I'm a website owner and I'm getting all these requests to remove my links, why should I? You put the link there, and in many cases some of these were people who were spammed inadvertently.
I mean to some extent you kind of have to commend them because they're making the most of the situation. But haven't had too much of that. It's still either really old websites where the contact details no longer apply, in which case, you know, they're going to go with the disavow anyway, or that they're quite happy to remove them.
And the disavow there, so essentially it's a text file, isn't it, where you kind of you list all of the websites you'd like to remove,
just the URLs. And you can either do it by domain or link, so if you've got if there's one domain that has several links to your site on several different URLs, but some of them you think are better than others, then you can just put that exact link in instead of the entire domain. But I think we were talking about this the other day, and I think Google might be a bit finicky with that, because if you're picking and choosing,
probably best go one way or the other. So exact link for domains. I mean, I know when we were at Brighton SEO recently, the former Google engineers seemed to suggest that you're better off just going and doing the whole domain, seemed to be their suggestion. Maybe they weren't working there when this all came about, but their logic was that if they were doing it, they'd kind of do the whole domain there as well. Cool, well, fantastic. I mean, I think that's a really interesting insight, Natalie, in terms of, you know, one of the interesting new areas of SEO where it is about this kind of correcting previous, you know, less reputable work. I suppose kind of caveats there is that it can be really, really important, but equally a lot of people are going and worrying about disavowing the links and getting links removed, when actually in many cases they're not really suffering the effect of a penalty. But I think well worth talking about and well worth exploring.
Okay, thank you.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.